Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. I'm glad to be on with Nashville's dynamic duo this morning.
Well, it's, I'm sure, a life-changing moment for you. We appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Hey, also, since we're, you know, we are helping Nick Keyser today with his wedding, which is Saturday, and you just got married, so we're soliciting advice. So let's just start with that. What is your advice as a married man of like 2 weeks now for Nick Keyser and his wedding?
Don't do it, no. My advice is I've loved being married so far. Learn that it's little negotiations every day of what you can put up with each other and figure out what's worth it and what's not worth it.
Nice. I agree. Thank you.
Nice.
Which is mostly her trying to figure out what she can put up with, right?
That's 100%.
That would be my assumption, yeah.
Mostly. I got a great wife. She got me.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for her. Yeah. There you go. It's good stuff. So, Mike, on the Tennessee baseball front, we'll start on the baseball front with you. Obviously, a really good season for Tony Vitello in this group. When you start to look at this group, the entire picture of the lineup, the pitching staff, and you start to forecast national championship contenders in college baseball this season, where's Tennessee at on that list to you? How do you view Tennessee's chances to really make some noise this postseason?
Well, I'll start that with a reality I came to yesterday, and this team is only three games off the pace of the 2022 team.
It's pretty wild.
And it just doesn't make sense because that team obviously drew so much more attention for so many reasons. You know, the 105-mile-an-hour fastball, bat stickers, the personalities were so different. But in terms of talent and what they've done, this team is actually quite comparable to that. They're likely to break that team's home run record. I mean, they're right there in some ways. The pitching isn't as dominant from an arms perspective being a big difference. But in terms of this national title picture, it's a little bit more of an open year, I think, going into the postseason than maybe what we saw last year with an LSU and a Wake Forest being two teams that were just such juggernauts in so many ways. Tennessee might be the most complete team because it does seem like all the top teams have pretty noticeable flaws. A&M starting pitching hasn't been steady. Arkansas is Hagan Smith, and that might be it a lot of the time. Kentucky does look like a pretty complete team that could play well in Omaha when you're looking at just SEC teams, obviously. But, I mean, Tennessee's lineup can hit, can stick with anyone. I think the pitching has overachieved, and that is such a credit to Frank Anderson. Can that continue? Can they avoid getting in the wrong side of a bracket? That always is a key this time of year, too.
Yeah, we talked about this when you were here recently for the Vanderbilt series, Mike. You know, A.J. Russell, I mean, I don't want to put too much because, I mean, really, A.J. Russell, like, what is realistic to get out of someone? But obviously a tremendous talent, as Tony Vitello said that weekend. You know, there aren't many people like him, won't be many people like him. What do you think is a fair expectation there in terms of possible postseason contribution?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to throw in Hoover, but by all accounts, in one of the first two games, because, again, those are the two games that you are guaranteed to have. I don't know how much you can get. Is it 2 to 3 innings? Is kind of a long reliever, bridge the gap kind of guy? I mean, that's kind of what A.J. Russell was at times last year as a freshman and was dominant in that role. But that said, even if it's two innings every couple games, that's a big deal to get because Tennessee's pitching staff is a little bit thin. It's not the deepest staff, especially when you talk about the type of games and the number of games you have to win to go and get to a national title series in Omaha. You need more arms than what Tennessee's had. it's not exactly a prototypical recipe to essentially use two openers to have the success that Tennessee's had, but they've been able to do that.
Mike, how do you put into context the season that Christian Moore just had for Tony Vitello in this group?
I mean, when all is said and done, it's going to stack up as one of, if not the best offensive seasons in Tennessee baseball history. Obviously, he's broken the record for home runs already single season. Might have made a mark for a career home run record that might not be broken by the time he finishes this season. I mean, he's 12 ahead or 13 ahead of the previous record. Won the Triple Crown in SEC conference play with the best batting average, home runs, RBIs. It's been pretty incredible to watch. It's a guy doing this all from the leadoff spot, too, which kind of adds to it. But it seems the takeaway I had the other day in the South Carolina series was even when he fouls a ball off, it sounds incredible. And the sound off the bat is so special with the season that Christian Moore is having. The foul balls kind of make you look up and say, wow. So it's been pretty impressive to watch.
So does this weekend matter at all for the Vols? Let's take it to the big picture SEC, because there's a lot of teams that are on the bubble, including Vanderbilt, which one win and Vanderbilt gets Tennessee. First of all, how safe do you think they are? And what does this – I mean, Tennessee's obviously going to host. They're going to host whatever. I don't know if it could mean something in terms of the bracket, like a matchup or anything like that. Is it almost like maybe just get the heck out of there and save your arms?
I feel the same way about this tournament I feel about the basketball tournament, which is your teams probably want to feel good about themselves coming home, which obviously Tennessee basketball didn't and then went to the Elite Eight. So maybe I'm just really dumb. But
you
I did say that. I'm always wrong. I'm married. I think you do just want to feel good about yourself. I think you probably want to get to a third game. You don't want to go 0-2 down there. Tennessee did go 0-1 last year and went to Omaha, so it's possible to do those things. But they are going to face a hungry Florida or Vanderbilt team in that first game, because I do think both those teams probably need one win. I don't know if they need two, but you probably want to get to two to feel good about yourselves going in. Let me put it this way. Florida and Vanderbilt know where their odds are at, because look at the arms they're throwing. I mean, they're throwing guys that they need to win games with, and it threw a lot of pitches recently too. So they know that wins are important right now.
Mike Wilson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mike, I do want to get your thoughts on a couple of football questions here. Obviously, we know with Nico taking over here, there's going to be a lot of hype around this team heading into the season. The first year of the 12-team college football playoff. How do you view the hype of Nico and this group heading into this year? And how much hype do you think is warranted based on the roster that Josh Heupel has coming back into the season?
Yeah, my intrigue has and will be with the positions around Nico. I think we saw enough of what Nico could do against Iowa and in the four games he played in last year to say, okay, can run the offense. Things go smoothly with him, but what are they going to get at wide receiver that was different than last year? Is the offensive line going to be better? I mean, they added a left tackle in Lance Hurd, but most of the other pieces are the same, and it wasn't a good pass-blocking offensive line last year. Can running back hold up? Because they lost two really good guys, and Dylan Sampson's now the number one, and he was kind of the number two, number three guy last year, so what's that position going to look like? That to me is much more interesting on that Tennessee offense is, are the other positions going to step up and do better than they did last year? Because as much as people love to talk about Joe Milton last year, he was not the only piece of that offense that was not getting it done.
All right, well, I'm going to hoops, Mike, because Chaz Lanier is the coveted guard, North Florida transfer. He apparently is visiting now, I guess, visiting Knoxville, has just visited Lexington. What is it, Kentucky, BYU, Tennessee?
Yes.
So give me right now, as things stand, with all the portal additions, subtractions, how good do you think this team is? And if they got Lanier, what would that mean?
I like what Tennessee's done. They've gone out and added three-point shooting and tall three-point shooting at that. In Darlin Stone Dubar and Igor Milicic. Those are two really nice additions, I think. I also think Felix Okpara has a lot of potential to be that that good fit as the five, where Tennessee obviously needed someone with Tobey Awaka, Jonas Adu going out. He and J.P. Estrella should form a really nice pair. Obviously, backcourt's what you love about Tennessee with Zakai Ziegler, Jemai Meshack. Now to Chaz, that's the one thing that this team can really add and change its dynamic is a really big-time scoring guard. Zakai Ziegler can score, but if he's a point guard in all facets, Tennessee's better off for it. Jemai Meshack, elite defender, has improved offensively, but he's not going to go get you 16 a game. Chaz Lanier is a guy like that. A highly efficient, elite scorer. That's kind of that. I wrote last week, Tennessee and Chaz Lanier are a perfect pair. And from a Tennessee perspective, that's why. That's that one piece that you haven't added and that could really bolster the roster.
Well, Mike, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning here on the show. And we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, offering advice on all of Tennessee's teams and marriage advice as well.
Yeah. But we should get to Keith's advice, by the way. I think what did he say? Two words. Boot flask.
Boot flask.
There you go. Are you listening, Keezer?
737-1025.
Get a boot flask.
Our phone number. More of your thoughts on Nick Keezer, your advice for him as his wedding is coming up this weekend. We'll also react to what Mike Wilson had to say coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June the 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes towards a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or to sponsor at 615open.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keezer here with you on this Tuesday morning. Appreciate Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel for being with us in the last segment. The SEC Baseball Tournament coming up this week. Doesn't mean a whole lot for Tennessee. It does for Vanderbilt. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But it is pretty amazing to think about that lineup from Tennessee a couple years ago where they were just running through college baseball all year long. How good that team was when you factor in the pitching staff that went along with it. Obviously a disappointment that team didn't even get to Omaha. This team's lineup is pretty darn comparable. Like, it's a pretty darn comparable lineup that Tennessee has. The pitching, I would agree, is probably not as strong as that team's was. But I do look at this team, Joe, obviously. I mean, they've been the number one team in the nation. And look around and say, they've got, I think, just as good of a shot as anybody else to win a college baseball national title this year. How do you view Tennessee, how well-positioned this group is under Tony Vitello to make some noise here in the postseason, given what we've seen from them to this point?
Certainly, this team can win it all. Certainly, this team can win it all. But the pitching does. That's the big difference. 2 years ago, they were number one, and there was a gap. They were the clear favorite. All the talk was, are you taking Tennessee or the field? That's not the talk this year. At this point, this year, they're ranked number one, but a lot of people think that they're going to be maybe like the number two or number three national seed. So it's different. And again, the pitching is, you had three dominant arms, you know, at starter. You have one of them still in Drew Beam, who's going to be a high draft pick, but you're kind of just cobbling things together other than Drew Beam at this point. You have a lot of arms with the bullpen. So, but it's also this year in college baseball, the power numbers are insane. They have to, I think, say something about pitching quality, although I think they also probably say something about the ball and the bats,
yep.
Right? I mean, it's – but it is that kind of year in college baseball. So I actually go to this tweet from Chris Lee, VandySports.com. He projected ahead if the SEC teams played 162 games. The home run totals, like Charlie Condon, the Georgia monster year, 107. You know, Christian Moore was 78. You know, Caglianone from Florida, 87. Jace LaViolette, 82. I mean, it's
pretty
that
good
kind of year. So is it just going to be one of those years where you just get into a bunch of beer league softball kind of games and just mash away? I mean, I don't know. But they got a chance. It is very different. They're not only do they not have that dominant frontline pitching, they don't have the controversy surrounding them because they don't have, you know, Drew Gilbert and Jordan Beck flipping people off and telling umps to, whatever, bleep yes. off and stuff like that. But that's probably better, I feel like they've got a really good chance. And it's just, you just have to be able to – you're not going to get like 6-7 inning starts in some of these games that you kind of – usually teams that make runs get those. You're at times you're just going to have these bullpen games where it's like you do an inning and, you do two. That's why I think A.J. Russell really is important for them. 6'6 sophomore from Franklin, just big time, nasty stuff. He's been hurt since I think late March. If they get him, just like Mike said, just a couple, you can count on him for an inning or two here or there to string things together. That might be the difference.
So, are Vols fans, you feel like they're all in terms of they think this is it? This is their year? Do you sense some hesitation from Tennessee fans based on what happened a couple of years ago with that team that everybody thought was going to win the national title? How do you view the way Vols fans are approaching this one with Tony Vitello?
Well, I think Vols fans at this point are like, on any team, are like, I'll just wait and see.
Yeah.
Right? People got excited. Obviously, Rick Barnstein got to the Elite Eight, second time ever. Great run. But, couldn't get over the hump in that game. The Vols, Vitello last year, that surprising run to Omaha, get a win in Omaha. So that's another advance, but still. I mean, especially like Vols / like Tennessee sports fans. There's a lot of like none of our teams are clutch. None of our teams, get the big win, get it done in the clutch. When the last team to actually win a championship is Vanderbilt 5 years ago.
Yep.
But you keep knocking on the door. At some point, it's going to come through for you. And that lineup is just, it's just incredible, really. Especially like the top six of that lineup. I mean, it's interesting what he's done, with Christian Moore leading off and Blake Burke in the two hole. Those guys you would expect to be 3-4 or like 4-5, But they're loaded through that lineup, and that might carry them. So, yes, Vols fans, they can win. This tournament is crazy, and wild things happen, but I'd say get ready for a ride here.
Well, by the way, don't look now, but Tony Vitello and the Vols at the moment – have the number one recruiting class for next year too. So it's quite the machine that Tony Vitello has built out there in Knoxville.
No doubt.
With more reinforcements coming their way next year.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like last year was the one disappointing year, right? I mean, it was like actually almost stunningly disappointing. Even though they'd lost some guys, they had so much talent. It's like, how the heck is this team not going to make the tournament? They sweep Vanderbilt, they flip it around. And really, like, since they swept Vanderbilt in that series last year, they've been back on the track of, as a dominant baseball team / program.
Speaking of Vanderbilt, so a different situation, obviously, than Tennessee heading into this week. How important is this week in the SEC baseball tournament starting today against Florida for Vanderbilt? And how do you view kind of where they are heading on into all this in terms of, are they in? Do they need another win? How do you view how things go from here for Vanderbilt?
Well, the last two series, they get thumped by Kentucky last weekend too, but J.D. Thompson comes through and some clutch hits, 6th, 7th inning, they save a game. Tennessee series, J.D. Thompson comes through, they save a game. I think that's going to get them in, but if I was Vanderbilt baseball, I would not lose to Florida and try to find out, Don't bleep around and find out.
Yeah.
Beat Florida, and then I think they're fine. Then they could be – nice, fun little SEC tournament match with Tennessee. But, 13 wins, there's no formula. There's no set formula. There's no written guideline. Usually that's a good formula, and their RPI is really good. I think they're, in the mid-20s in RPI. So, I do believe there's something to just name these humans, and it's like they're splitting hairs between teams, and it's like, Vanderbilt, okay. It's like in hoops, some years are like Michigan State be on the bubble. Michigan State there. I think they're going to get in, even if they lose to Florida. But it would be a nervous selection day for sure if they do.
Yep, it would be. I mean, they got the one win against Tennessee. They got the one win against Kentucky. And I think those two are probably enough to get them in. But I'm with you. Like, it would behoove them to go out there and win today. And I think you kind of erase all doubt
at
that point.
Behoover them.
Yes.
Yeah. How about that?
Ooh.
Caleb says, Vols fans know not to ever expect anything good to happen. Expect the worst and pray for the best, LOL. I mean, that's how I live my life, Caleb.
Yeah. This could be horrible, but let's hope not.
Yeah, exactly. You're never disappointed, or at least you're less disappointed than some people are about things.
Coming up next,
they turn out horribly wrong.
A big development in the Nashville Predators organization last night. We'll get into that up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Joe, Nashville's team, America's team maybe, back in the win column last night. The Milwaukee Admirals, they win 5-2 in game 2 of their playoff series last night.
Has Stephen A. been talking about this yet? He's going to probably spend a lot of time on this today.
Oh, once he shuts up about the Knicks, then they're going to get right into the Admirals, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
5-2.
Weeping.
They win last night. They even up their best of five series at 1-1. So, obviously, very nice. Well done by the Admirals last night. Zach LaRue scores again, has a goal and an assist last night. Scored the goal, chirped the goalie, immediately got called for an unsportsmanlike penalty, which was entertaining. Not sure Barry Trotz loves that, but it was entertaining to watch.
Real quick aside, so then there was a Stilly Alex Doherty battle about
Stilly
this?
Stilly Alex Doherty spat.
Right.
See, I missed these when I mute Stilly.
You got to unmute him every now and then.
And so Stilly is saying Zach LaRue, he's a problem for Trotz.
Said, I think he doesn't. What's the actual way he phrased this? Barry Trotz does not like that bleep, I can guarantee you, was what he said. So.
Okay.
All right.
And Doherty was like.
Doherty basically said it was a weak call, is basically what he said. And then there was some sniping back and forth between the two.
It did kind of look like he just sort of skated over to the. Right?
Like, I mean, he did completely stare him down and then circle back and stare him down again. I don't know what he said.
Yeah, it's all about what he said.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, without knowing the exact words.
Yeah, I don't know what he said, but I mean, it was clearly enough to get him called for the penalty.
But Zach LaRue, though.
Zach LaRue keeps putting the puck in the back of the net. Joachim Kemmel, 2 assists last night. Svechkov scored last night. So lots of prospects that you want to see do well were doing well last night for the Milwaukee Admirals, including Yaroslav Askarov, back in the net, baby. 27 saves on 29 shots. I was hoping after they lost game 1, Joe, that they would put him back in there. I felt like, you know, if you're not going to put him back in there then,
yeah.
Then we got a problem. I mean, that's what we were talking about last week. Like, it's one thing while you're winning to leave Groznik in there, that's fine. But after you lose, we're going to have a problem if you don't put him back in there. So they put him back in there. He plays well. And they win the game. All is right in Nashville Predators land again. Askarov looking good, including a highlight reel save last night. So does that now mean that we're back, even Willie Donick included, on Yaroslav Askarov watch for next year for the Nashville Predators?
Or back on, okay, now you can move Soros.
Yeah, watch. Exactly.
Yeah, well, it is, like you said, they're going to keep playing here, but then, like, the other guy loses, then you can – first of all, you don't have to justify anything to the team. You're the freaking minor leagues. Let's not even get started on this again too much. But I get it. The other guy's playing. You're winning. You're in a playoffs. And also, this is a little bit of, okay, Yaroslav, like, if you don't do ABC, yeah, you're a huge prospect. But here, have a little adversity. Have a seat. If he wouldn't have played last night, though, it's like,
it'd been a problem.
What is happening?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I would read that like, okay, so, like, there's a real issue here, right?
Yeah.
And it can't just be, the Admirals are going for the Calder Cup!
Yes. Precisely.
Stop making me align my views with Stilly.
It was good to see him back in there last night. You know, I did not watch the game. I did see some of the highlights of the game.
That's too bad.
I know.
Keyser didn't watch,
which I think is probably the most disappointing part of all this. What are we doing in there?
I don't have the plan to watch it.
Remember that I got the Rex rant next, but if you need to, if you want to try your vows out on us, we can do it. We can switch to that. We can pivot.
I don't want to commit my life to you, Joe. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yes. Well, I was just trying to help you out, man.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you, though.
So let me ask you this. Let's say he gets back in here, Askarov, and they go on a nice little run here. Let's say they either win it or they get to the Calder Cup final, and he's – He's a big part of it.
I mean, if they win the Calder Cup, he's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, right?
Well, maybe so. Maybe so.
Cap.
How much – what does that mean, like, if you're Barry Trotz? Like, when you factor in the whole year, right? Because Askarov, it's been like I think a tale of basically two different seasons for him to this point. For the first 75% of the season, he was unreal. Like, I mean, they went through that 19-game winning streak. He had, like, six shutouts during that span. I mean, he's unbelievable. His numbers were awesome. The last part of the regular season, it dipped. Willie's talked about that. I think he had like an 880 save percentage over the last little bit there. Gets back in the playoffs, benched after the first two games. Now he's back in there. If this has been kind of like a reset for him and he plays really well from here on out and they make a significant run, how do you view the whole thing in totality in terms of his readiness for the National Hockey League if you're Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators?
Well, I wasn't a big fan of taking him out, you know, considering how important, you know, games like this would be for him. But if that's how it works out, then you could probably look at this as like this turns out to be a key moment, potentially key moment in his growth, right? This could potentially be a little bit of an accelerator to go through this, do some immature stuff, get benched, bounce back and play your best hockey. And, you know, the team rallies around you and, and I mean, imagine the parade in Milwaukee. Let's not, you know, the parade itself.
The Miller Lite will be flowing.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of brats. Hopefully, doesn't get in the way of a,
we'll have to do a
Brewers
show
home game. Yeah, yeah, that's right. We should do some remotes from Milwaukee. By golly, no, it could be a good thing for sure. And it's look, it's about what he is as a player. He's had a very tiny little glimpse of this league, but I thought he looked good in that glimpse. There's still a difference between that and being able to do it every single night or being able to do it 30 nights out of 82 or whatever it is, which, you know, I think probably is where he starts. It's just a matter of who's he starting with.
Right.
But, yeah, this could end up being a good thing for him.
I think it could, too. I mean, you saw again last night, and there's a couple of clips that they put out there. You can go find it on Milwaukee Admiral social media. I mean, he made a couple of saves that were just ridiculous, right? I mean, he's got an incredible amount of athleticism. And that's the interesting part. Like Barry Trotz watching all this go down. I mean, he's talked about Saros. I think they're going to have conversations with Saros this offseason. I do wonder, like, in the back of your mind, if you're Trotz, though, like, do you watch this kid and say, you know what? He's got a chance to be special. Like, he's got a chance to be a special player. And how does that factor in kind of like how you view your situation moving forward? Like, for all I know, Barry Trotz views it the same way Willie does, which is Saros, sign him to a deal, Askarov, be the backup, have the tandem, and then maybe in a couple years you deal with that situation one way or the other, whether it's trading Saros or trading Askarov. I don't know, but like, it was just another reminder last night of, like, how good at times when he's on he is and that I think he can be eventually in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and so also if he makes this run, then other teams notice that too.
For sure.
So because there's always – I still believe you have to make a choice. Jackson says that the Preds do resign Saros, would you trade a scar for a Zegras? Which team says no? The other team would say no.
The other team would probably say no.
The other team says no to that, but
I mean, tell me what the rest of the package is and we could have a better answer. But if you're talking straight up, yeah, Anaheim's not doing that,
right? But maybe if he does this, he could be intriguing to teams. And so I understand that there's a short-term benefit of having him potentially work behind him, but yeah, you know, we've talked about it.
We've
talked a lot about it.
That
would be a mistake.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? First off, Nick Cuser, my advice for you for being a married man for about 3 years now, make a decision when she asks for you to make a decision. It'll just be better for both of y'all. We try to make dinner plans, and we're both very indecisive, and it can sometimes get a little frustrating. So
just say Red Lobster right
yeah,
now.
We're going right
That's
now.
It.
I don't want to hear another word out of you.
Cheddar biscuits.
So my concern, and I've Ollie, I've been hesitant from the very beginning about Barry Trotz being the GM, but my concern right now is how much he wants the culture to be, you know, basically everybody be very buttoned up. Because obviously with Zach LaRue and Askarov, the Preds have only had one larger-than-life player, and that's P.K. Subban. And I don't know. What do y'all think about that?
Yep, thanks for the call, Nate.
Does he, though?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, look, Trotz coached Ovechkin, right? They won the Stanley Cup, and he's swimming around the city in a fountain with
that,
the cup.
That is like after winning the cup.
It is after winning the Stanley Cup. He's one of the greatest players of all time. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that Barry Trotz is walking around the building in there saying, let's quench all possible personality that any of you have. And, I don't want any
Tuck
of that.
Tuck that shirt
like,
in.
Yeah, like, I don't. Now, look, I can tell you, like, he was probably a little bit more strict on dress code policy than a lot of people have been. Look, LaRue has got a really interesting personality. I think he's the type of player from a skill set standpoint and kind of that edge standpoint that they don't really have, which I think can serve him really well in the National Hockey League. I also think like the stuff like last night, you cannot do that in the National Hockey League. Like you cannot be running your mouth and getting penalties left and right in the National Hockey League. So there's still some
but Trotz
growth.
Has had guys like that.
Yeah,
too,
and he's had some guys some like that. Look, he's had, you know, Tom Wilson. He played with, you know, he coached Tom Wilson. So, like, he's had some guys like that.
People had a problem
but,
with
like,
him.
There's still some growth that I think LaRue needs to have. Askarov, clearly, like, he's got a lot of swagger to him. I think part of that is what makes him really good. But you gotta know when to rein that in and when to kind of let that go. So, I think all that's a learning process, especially when you're younger. I don't have, like, some gigantic concern that, oh my gosh, these guys are showing personality, so Barry Trotz is going to kick him out of the door or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. What are his dress code parameters? What does he demand with the dress code?
I just know from stories I've heard back in the day, he's a little bit more into the suit and tie than maybe some other people are when you're traveling.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still the case or not. That's just what I've heard.
That's the thing. It's like, so he's, I mean, it would be Brunette who would determine that now, right?
I don't think so.
No?
I think it's Trotzy.
Well, how did he determine it back when David Poyle was a GM? When Trotz is just always the boss?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that what we're getting to here?
Maybe it's different now. I don't know.
I want to know what their dress code is.
They look really nice heading on the plane. I know that.
Yeah, but like Yossi's always going to wear some awesome suit, right?
Yossi walks around in a hoodie all the time.
Hmm.
Just saying.
Okay.
I just like, if I'm getting on a flight, I want some comfort. Yeah. Give me a track suit or something. That's just me.
No,
I'm lazy. They're not.
I'm with you. No. I mean, you know, you should let these guys wear sweatpants, but whatever.
615-737-1025.
Especially flying to freaking Vancouver.
I did not anticipate that being the way we went with the Barry Trotz discussion today.
Hey. I'm really interested. I want to know the policy.
Barry, what's your policy dress code? Let us know. Call in.
I bet you Brandon knows. Let's ask Brandon.
Yep. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
He was so mad that he was like, you know, you keep doing that stuff, someone's going to kick your ass.
Okay.
Now, if I was a younger person, what would have come out of my mouth was, who's going to do that?
Yeah,
who?
Exactly.
I kept my mouth shut, but he was mad. So, of course, they check the ball up. He gets the ball immediately, slamming into me, hold my ground, slam into me, hold my ground, take me left, pump, stay down, shoot, throw your crap to the gym wall.
That was the Rex Rant from yesterday. A nice basketball theme right now on the Rex Rant. Rex Road fired up yesterday. Apparently somebody else was more fired up that you had to correct over the weekend.
That sounded very boastful. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed every second of it.
He probably could have kicked my butt.
A 9-minute run.
Who's going to do that?
You. Who? You and who? Yes, more hoops today. I try to keep these rants as hoop-centric as I can.
I know.
So I was watching the fourth quarter of the Fever Sun last night, which led right into Game 7, Canucks Oilers. See, Caitlin Clark hit a 33-footer to put her team ahead. They go on a huge run. She just twisted her ankle in the second quarter. But then she gets torched on D, and she gets a text, screams an F-bomb, and the ref's like, oh, you lost your composure. Then they come back. She hit this sweet little play with Aaliyah Boston, a little short roll, perfect drop for Caitlin Clark, tying bucket. But then the Stephanie White-coached son
yes.
beat them. So they're 0-4. Which kind of, I guess, kind of goes with a team that had the number one pick. Yeah, they're not good. Clark had 17-5 last night. She's had mixed results. She's been getting just harassed by great defensive players and getting some extra attention. So basically, she's like the 10 billionth great college player in any sport who goes, dominates in college, and then gets a little bit of, well, reality in the pros. I mean, it's all fine. She's going to be great. This is the highest level of play, so everyone just calm down. Like, it's not going to be – like, people are like, I need to give her an easier schedule. Like, what? No. Like, the future of women's basketball does not hinge on her scoring 40 points every night immediately. Like, it's a great – it's the highest level of play. Everybody calm down. And this is not even my rant, okay? So I was watching Pat McAfee. I mean, I see clips of Pat. I mean, I don't seek out Pat McAfee, as we talked about. I mean, he's fine. I just don't, like, watch the show.
Sure.
But, I mean, as a football player who kicks footballs, he's definitely much better than the little weirdo in Kansas City who spouts anti-Semitic, homophobic, my woman better have my dinner ready by 5:30 to unsuspecting college kids speeches. He's definitely better than that guy. But anyway, this clip of McAfee is out there. He's gushing about the WNBA, and he's watching it. He's watching it because Caitlin Clark's in the WNBA. He's like, man, these players are amazing. Like, this player, that. You know, he has this whole thing. And this is on X. And so I go to the mentions, of course, you know, which is kind of an issue for me. This is kind of a recurring thing, me going to the mentions. And it's like a bunch of, like, WNBA / like Caitlin Clark fans, and they're just destroying him. You're like, oh, you idiot, you don't know that WNBA is this awesome, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, please let's not be soccer fans or even like hockey fans to some extent where it's like, if you aren't in the club, then you can't be in the club.
You can't join. Yes.
Pat McAfee is good for the sport when he talks about the sport. Like, that's good. It's a conversation about the sport. It's helping the sport grow. Do you still want it to be the same relatively small group of people, or would you like more people to watch the sport and for it to be more popular and for it to be more on TV, et cetera, et cetera? Just shut up. But then, of course, like, who am I yelling at? I'm yelling at people in mentions, these trolls in mentions, and that's really my rant. Like, why do I care what people say in mentions?
I don't know. I mean, look, people argue about everything nowadays. I mean, I think some people just live all day to be trolls online. You bring up something there that has always bothered me, and I think soccer fans have been a bad part of it. I have seen this from hockey fans, too, of, well, I saw this even from, like, some Predators fans in the run in 2017. It was like, wow.
Right.
I've been around since 1999. You guys are just coming on now, so screw you.
Get it's these, like, newbies out of here.
All right. Well, like, do you want the fan base to grow, or, like, do you not? Like, do you want your
You want to have another Save the Preds rally at some point? Like, or do you want stability?
Do you want your sport to have more eyeballs on it, or do you not? So that part of it has always been kind of weird to me. Like, And look, Caitlin Clark is going to come into the WNBA. And look, I'm with you. I'll be totally honest with you. I have never in my life sought out a WNBA game, ever. Not one time. Last night, leading into Game 7 between the Oilers and the Canucks, I saw it was on. I said, oh, okay, yeah. And I watched the entire fourth quarter of it. So, I mean, doesn't that kind of go to show you? Like, that's, I think a lot of people are going to do that because she's in the WNBA and – I think it's going to be great for that league, great for the sport. And if you're a WNBA fan, that's a good thing.
Right.
Those are all good things. I don't know why we can't just accept that.
Yeah. But again, it's like, so are mentions a reflection of people? Are these people screaming anywhere?
Twitter's not
real.
In
actual life? Does Pat McAfee walk out of the studio and say, hey, Pat, how did you not know who the top defender on the Sun is? You know, I don't know.
Give me the entire history of the Connecticut Sun now.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I found out last night Stephanie White's coaching the Connecticut Sun, so you learn a lot. Yeah, and I mean, I've watched WNBA playoffs. You know, I'll catch some. But, yeah, I mean, I'm much more likely to watch women's college basketball.
Yeah.
Over time, and yeah, I'm enjoying it too. I'm kind of on McAfee's wavelength there. Like, you watch these games, it's like, God, there are a lot of good players. A lot of good players you forgot, you know, from college too. You're like, oh yeah. I mean, that happens to me in the NBA too. It's like,
yeah,
oh, that guy's with them. Like in the playoffs, a team I never watched in the regular season. You're like, oh, he's on that team.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching the T-Wolves. Like, dang, Naz Reid. Now, he was okay at LSU.
He's in the
but
league.
Look at this dude.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Coming up next, we will be joined by Nick Suss from the Tennessean, who will talk all things Tennessee Titans. OTAs coming up in the NFL, so Joe Rexroad's favorite day of the year. We'll get into that and more with the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.